Been there.
Come here, Benny.
That's it. Before we start talking about the cinema, if I could ask you one or two questions about yourself, just so...
Yeah. Do you think I'd better sit there? And then,
do you think so? Maybe then.
Well,
I think
if she comes across there, she's going to knock it off, isn't she? Whereas you can put it, you could probably put it. Could you?
Yes, that's fine, yeah.
Unless, shall I bring one of those chairs up there and you could put it on that and then it
that,
won't...
That would be quite good, yes. Mm. I think she wants to join.
Oh, yes, oh, she might be left out.
Right.
I had seven people here yesterday, so she's been a bit...
be exciting for her.
Right, is that better? Yeah. Yes, because if she will, she won't.
Yeah. As I say, just to make sure that I've got everything right about yourself.
I see.
So... I know you were born in 1916.
That's right, right? Yes. Fanny, come here.
And that was in Wigan?
No. Yes, I was born in Wigan. Yes,
right.
Yes.
I'll just get a pen out of my bag to fill us in while we're chatting. Can I ask what it was your father did? What sort of work?
He was a joiner.
A joiner. Mm-hmm. And did your mother work?
No.
Right.
No.
And... How many children were there?
Four.
Right.
That's a good use to do it.
Can I ask, were you brought up in a particular religious...
Anglican, yes.
Can I ask as well if your family had any strong political views or... If you've ever been a member of a party or anything like that?
No, actually, I'm a floating voter.
Right.
I study what they've done and what they're likely to do and kind of...
So based on the policies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can I ask what year you were married in?
1937.
And what was it your husband worked at?
He was a pawnbroker.
Ah, really?
Well, worked in a pawnbroker.
Yes.
So.
And you have children yourself?
Yes, I have three.
That's great. Well, that's all I wanted to
I see.
Ask. The other thing is, because I'm taping our discussion, these tapes will be kept in the university initially, and it's possible that someone else might listen to them in the future. Would you have any objection to that?
No.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's also possible that extracts from them might be used in some sort of publication or broadcast, and
I'm quite happy with that.
Right. In that case, I wonder if I could ask you to just sign this form to that effect. It's just to keep everything straight from a sort of legal point of view.
Do I sign it here?
Yes, and then I'll sign it as well. It's just one of these things that we have to do, you know, and
that's right.
Then it gets put in a drawn and forgotten about, I think. That's great, thanks a lot, and I'll just sign that as well. That's that part of things over. I mean, the first thing I really wanted to ask you was, what was the cinemas that you went to in Bolton
cinemas.
In the 30s?
Well, actually, I didn't start going to the cinema very much at all until I met my husband. Now, he loved the cinema, and we went every week.
But up to then,
I only went just very occasionally, you see. One or two pictures that I like Nelson Eddy, Gina McDonald, and those kinds, you see. And Spencer Tracy I always liked, Leslie Howard. Remember one or two of those? Mind you, that might have been after I started going out with Penny, but my husband loved pictures. Apparently, when he was at school, of course I didn't know him then, he used to play marbles in the schoolyard, and he always won. And he used to sell the marbles so that he could go to the pictures.
So it's a way of financing his habit. So that's interesting. So it was more when you were courting that that's you went
right.
to see.
That's right, yes, yes. Yeah. And then we went every Wednesday night to the Regent on Wigan Road.
Yeah.
No, Dean Road it was, wasn't it? It was not quite Wigan Road there. Dean Road we went. The seats were started at fourpence and then sixpence. We went in the sixpenny ones. We couldn't quite afford the ones on the gallery like, but I can remember we went to the children years afterwards, and it was half a crown. And Harry nearly died when he thought it was half a crown. It hadn't, in the meantime, you see, with having children, it hadn't been.
Yeah.
But we used to go every Wednesday night then, but, you know, I've never been much of a cinema goer. Is this what you're doing, actually, the...
Yes.
The social history of
yes.
the cinema.
I mean, I was wondering about what the region was like at that time.
Well, it was only a small cinema. I believe there's a book now in Bolton on cinemas in Bolton. I've one on Mills in Bolton, but I've not one on cinemas. I've not seen it. It's somebody that's told me about it.
It's interesting because I was talking to a chap. I think he's Dave Fleming. I think had written a book on the Bolton cinemas, but I don't know if he actually had it published. So
oh,
maybe that one that you know, there's been talk about.
Oh, so I can't really tell you an awful lot about cinemas. Only that there was one. Oh, I can tell you about my brother going. He used to go to what they call the Penny Rush. That was on Derby Street. It was called the Derby Cinema. And then it changed to the Tivoli. And now it's the Tivoli Bingo Hall. Well, he used to go there. And just before you got to that picture place, there was a shop called Skinny Nancy's. And it was really dirty. It was something like, a bit like an ironmonger's. And but she sold everything. And she was a dirty lady, and the shop was dirty. But they used to go in there, I believe, and buy stink bombs. And they would drop them in the pictures. And the manager, apparently, used to say, when he saw them at the pay thing, you're not coming in this week. Oh, go on, let us come in. Oh, we'll be good kind of thing. Let us come in, yes, let us come in. And he always let them in, but nevertheless, he always threatened they wouldn't come in, you see. And my brother used to say that every week this manager used to get up on the stage before the commencement, and he used to say, ladies and gentlemen, it was only the Penny Rush, there was only children there, boys and girls, the top picture has not yet arrived. It had never arrived. Every week he said it had never arrived. And then he would say, but we've got a bloody good comic. And apparently he used to come round with a big stick, you see. So I don't really ever hit anybody. I know really never came on. But he did come round with this big stick to keep them quiet.
Was that in Wigan?
No, this was in Bolton.
This was in Bolton,
yes. I never... In Wigan, we went to the music hall. I can just vaguely remember, and I must only have been a baby then, because I remember my dad saying something about taking me when I was a baby in arms to the Wigan Hippodrome. He had come from Rainford, you see, which was a village, and there was no such a thing as... pictures in Rainford. The only thing my dad used to tell us about this, there used to be a man used to come round with his own sort of films, and he would show them in somebody's barn. And my dad used to go and help him with this. And he said, but invariably, the film would break and he'd piece it together. And he remembered very well one film with a white horse on. And every time he got to this white horse, it seemed to break. And they'd cut it out. And by the time they'd finished, there's more white horse on the floor than they had. But that was the only way he'd ever seen anything like that, you see. And I think I told you that when we lived at Whiston, I remember going to Prescott to see a film. I mean, we lived 2 miles outside the village of Whiston, and it was a 3-mile walk to Prescott, no buses. But I can remember going from school, and I do remember it was Jackie Coogan, and he stole these trousers off a rag cap and put them on the tram lines. The tram ran over them and cut them short so he could wear them. Now, I can remember that very well. But after we came to Bolton, because you must understand, 26 we came to Bolton, in 29 my mother died. Well, I was 12, my sister was 14, my brother was 10, and my youngest sister was only 5. So, of course, it was up to myself and my elder sister to look after the others, you see. So, I mean, you couldn't get out to go to places like that, you see. We were both in the guys, and we did get out one night a week to go to guide meetings, you see, and things like that. But as for going to the cinema, no, that was something, well, you're really not time to do it, you see.
You must have had to grow up quite fast.
We grew up too fast.
Yeah.
I can remember one of my aunties telling my dad that he expected too much of us, which he did. He did, really, you know. And that stays with you. That stays with you. I think I'm younger now, in outlook particularly. You know, than I was then. It's a bit exaggerated, that, but you know, you did grow up too serious and too, you know, I often wish that I'd let myself go more. And I did, later on, when my father married again, you wouldn't be interested in listening about my Auntie Alice's wedding, would you? But that was in Rainford. This is really funny. Well, when my mother died, this was 1929, my mother died on the Thursday, she died with pneumonia. My grandfather died the following, no, my great-uncle Dick was my mother's uncle, he died the following Monday with a hemorrhage of the throat. He'd had a handful of dried peas and one had got stuck in his gullet and he choked. My grandfather died with sugar diabetes. So they all three died in the same week, you know, within a week. Well, in those days, particularly in Rainford, you went into mourning. Everything was black. And even the aprons they worked in had to be black and white. And black and white borders around the handkerchiefs and all this kind of thing, you see. Well, my Auntie Alice, she was the youngest of my mother's sisters. And she was getting married just within the 12 months. Well, my grandma didn't really like this, and there hadn't to be, you know, much fuss. It was very quiet. And anyway, she had a white dress, but she wore a black hat, because there was still mourning, you see. And we didn't go to the church. We were then living in Bolton, you see, and we went by train, and the train was a bit late, and then we'd a couple of miles to walk to where my grandma lived. So we hadn't time to go to the church. And my grandma didn't go to the church. She stayed in the house and made the tea, you see. And there was just a few, well, quite, must have been about, I should think, perhaps about 20 people altogether. And so Auntie Alice came, knocked on the door, and I went with grandma, you know, to see the bride. And I could see her now with this white frock on and this black hat. And then, of course, we had our tea. I suppose it was boiled ham. I can't remember what the tea was. But after tea, now, at Grandma's, they had a gramophone, a piano, and a violin. But they were still in mourning. So none of those had to be played. But they had got a big bottle of beer, one that went like this, and like a bulb, and it was encased in straw, you know. Well, of course, that was all the men had to do. They just sat there and chatted and had a drink, you see. And my Uncle Dick, there must have been some bottle beer as well, because Uncle Dick, that was my mother's brother, he'd gone a bit tiddly. And he got my sister and I sat at the front of him, and he got this bottle of beer, and he held it up like this, and his glass down here. And he said, "Now, bear joking, jesting, a codding." And then, of course, we giggled, you see. Now you mustn't laugh. And he'd start all over again, you see. "Can't I put best top on?" Well, we thought it was hilarious, you see. Well, of course, all these men, they drank more than they should have done, because I think they went back to the Bridge Inn for some more. It was the only thing they could do, really. And then there was one that must have been able to sing. So somebody asked him for a song. You'll never guess what he sang. You may not know it. "The Little Blind Boy." Have you ever heard it?
I don't know it, no.
Sing it a bit. What's the reason, Daddy, that I can't see like you? I oft times wonder what you're like. I know you're kind and true. Ma says God's will be done. So if to him I pray, will he give me life and let me see your face and light of day? A lovely song for a wedding, wasn't it? And then the next one he sung was, Don't Go Down in the Mine, Daddy. Now, I can't remember that, but it was something like, dreams often come true. And he was telling his daddy not to go down in the mine because he dreamt there'd been an explosion. So that was another, considering the men were all miners anyway, you know, it was a wonderful thing for a wedding. But the thing that always stuck in my mind was, we stayed overnight. And of course, in those days, you see, you'd lie no on your living room floor and a rag rug here. My Auntie Alice, this is the bride, she's scrubbing the floor, and Grandma's here at this dresser getting food ready. And Auntie Alice looked up from her scrubbing and she said, Didn't Roger sing nice last night, Grandmother? Grandma said, He did that. He did.
Wedding.
Even I, at my age, then thought to myself, well, he could have sung something more cheerful. So that's just a bit of something for by. It's nothing about cinemas or anything like that.
That's amazing, though. I mean,
and
the length of time for the morning must have been.
Oh, yes. Well, we had, you see, in Bolton here, we have what we call a sermons. We still have them. You walk around the churches walk around the parish. And like it's a special day at church, you know, once a year. Well, when my mother died, we had some, my sister and I had straw hats from the previous summer. It was February when she died, but we had these straw hats from the previous summer. And my dad bought us navy blue coats, but my auntie decided, my dad's sister decided, well, I can dye those hats, you see, and she dyed them black. The only snag was when it rained, the dye came out and it went. So the following summer, he bought us new hats. They were very posh. Really more than my dad could afford. My auntie Etty had no idea because she had no children, you know. And they were Bangkok straw, they used to call it, a shiny straw. It's like a bucket shape with a... Well, mine had mauve silk underneath the brim and a big mauve flower here. Now, my sister's had cream like that. Oh, my grandma didn't like that. Now, that was more than 12 months after the appearance. Yeah. Mine wasn't bad, she said, because that was second morning. But my sister's, no, that was cream. And I mean, imagine, like, a 12 and 14-year-old that had to wear things like this. Not so much, it wasn't quite so bad in Bolton. They did wear black and all that kind of thing. Because I can remember going to a wedding and they all had mauve because they were in mourning, you know, the wedding dress and the bride's dress and everything were all in mauve. But that had to be, you know, she was quite upset, Grandma was, that we had these, that my sister had this with the cream underneath. Oh dear. No. That was, what else? I left school at 14 and I went to work in what I thought was a cafe. I think I told you this over the phone. But I found out that I had to mop the shop floor first, sweep the shop front, mop the shop floor, which hadn't, and the cafe was over the top. It was all warm, of course. And then after breakfast, I started work at 7:30, and then we had a breakfast. We always got a good breakfast. And then it was a case of I had to go back. We had our breakfast in the bakehouse, but came back into the kitchen. And then it was cleaning the silver teapots, like mopping the floors in the cafes, doing all that kind of thing, getting ready for lunchtime trade. I can only remember all the time I was there, which was only a matter of, I would think, about 12 months, because I didn't like it at all. I can only remember serving one person in the cafe. And Well, as soon as lunchtime came, of course, all the washing up wanted doing, you see, from the cafe. And that was what I did, all the washing up from the cafe. Well, when that slackened off, the waitress, the proper waitress, as far as I can remember, she was in the shop. Well, it was my auntie and my cousin that were in the shop, but it was my uncle's shop. And she used to stand there and talk, but I had to go in the bakehouse when I finished all that washing up. And then I had to help them to clean up in the bakehouse. I was a 14-year-old. And then when they went home, I came back into the kitchen, ready for the tea time trade, you see. And I was going home at 7 o'clock. That was from 7:30 in the morning to 7 o'clock at night. 7 and 6 a week I got, which was quite good really in those days, because I got a breakfast and I got a lunch as well, you see. And I must have had some tea, I don't think I'd go till that. But if we had tea, I think it would have just been bread and jam or something like that. But we did get a good breakfast, sort of bacon and tomatoes or something like that. And it was cooked in the bakehouse oven, it was good. And a good lunch. No pudding or anything like that, but a good solid one course meal, you know. But I rather fancy it was just sort of bread and jam at tea, but I can't really remember. Anyway, on Wednesday afternoon I was supposed to have half a day. But I know twice at least I was sent with an order where they'd had an order for whisk pies or cakes or something. And after I'd finished, which would be 2 o'clock or 10:30 anyway, because you've got to wash up after lunch, you see. I had to take these orders on my way home, and it would be 3:30, 4 o'clock when I got home, you see. But that was I didn't start work right away, because when my mother died, my sister had just started work. Anyway, my dad kept her home, because you see, in those days there was no help at all for fathers. There was a little bit of help for mothers that were left, but nothing for fathers. They just had to keep on with their work. And so she was kept at home. And then when I left school, I was kept at home, you see. But that was only, that wasn't very long, because my father married again, you see. But then, like, after he married again, you used to have to help when you'd finish work, you see, at all. Everybody did. It wasn't just that I had a stepmother, all girls, not the boys, of course. But the girls, you see, all had to do quite a bit of the housework at home. And so it wasn't very easy. It wasn't an easy life, really. But, I don't know. And most of my life, really, I should say that book was more like the life I led, apart from the fact she doesn't seem to be even 14 when she finishes 1939, so she must have been younger than me. But she did sort of the same thing. It was church, morning, well, Sunday school and church. Everybody went to Sunday school and church. And then, of course, like I say, outdoor games after my mother died, so just playing hot flag or skipping or anything like that, we didn't do, you see, because we'd all the work to do. And then, like, there was guides for us. Now, later on, I did go to a dancing class, and I've always regretted I didn't keep it up, because I can do a waltz, and I can do the barn dance, and that kind of valita, and that sort of thing, you know. But I suppose it wouldn't be much use now, because it's all these sequence dances, and I can't get my feet round those. I can do country dancing, and I can do that for a Norton guide. And but it's similar to her in respect that her father was never out of work. Now, my dad wasn't out of work, you see. Mind you, that's why we moved. We moved from Wigan to Whiston, and Whiston to here, because there's no way my dad would be out of work. You see, in 1926, there was a miners' strike. Well, Whiston was a mining village. Although my dad was a joiner, there's no work for the miners, there's no work for the joiners, you see. And that's when we came here. So, like, apart from just occasionally going to the pictures until I started quoting now, and that was it, you know. Mm-hmm. But we did go then every Saturday. And then I was married in 1937. Let's see, what else did I do? Oh, I went and got a fresh job after that, but that was in a bakehouse during the baking. I managed to get a fresh job. But then, after a while, the lady said, it was a lady that ran it, and her husband worked for the water board. And she said she was going to give the shop up because you weren't supposed to have a business of your own if you worked for the water board.
Oh, I see.
And so she was going to give it up. So that was me out of a job, you see. And that was when, for a time, I worked in the mill. I didn't dislike working in the mill. It was quite clean, and it was hot. It was hot. It was stifling. But the job itself was clean. But apparently, there used to be cockroaches and that going up the walls at night. You know, the night watchman once came to me because I'd left an apron hung up. He said, "Don't ever do that again." He said, "Because the cockroaches here, you know, they're that big as you walk through." And I know there was rats as well, but of course I never saw anything like that. Anyway, then we opened a shop. My sister did the baking and I served in the shop, you see, for a while. And then what else did I do? Yeah, I moved out of that after a while. And I worked at Walker's Tannery. I was working at Walker's Tannery when I was married. Now that was, it was well paid. Of course, if you had 29 shillings a week in those days, that was good pay, you know. And I was 21 by this time. And, but we were ironing calf skins. And you had to iron 33 an hour for your wage. And each part of the calf skin had to be ironed three times. You put it on the table and you ironed half of it like that. Did you iron half or a quarter? No, you must have ironed half of it. Then turned it round like this and ironed the other half. And then you spread it all out. You ironed it three times. You ironed each place three times. Depending on the size of them, if you got some bigger ones in, you might not have to do as many, but you had an average of 33 an hour, and with four big irons like that. You weren't supposed to mend a fuse or anything like that yourself. There was an electrician. But if your iron was broken down, your wage was going, you see. So you were halfway over the place searching for the electrician, and then perhaps he was doing something else. And you got in trouble if you didn't use all four irons, because you had to do like that. That was it, with quarter of it. Then pick your iron, another iron up and do the other quarter. That was the way it was. And then turn it round and then pick the other iron up and do that and that, you see. And then do the whole thing all over again, just with one iron. So, of course, you got that you did your own fuses. But, you see, if you'd had an accident or anything like that, you wouldn't have got any compensation. But by and large, well, it was all right. And that was when I was married. And then war broke out, of course. Now, all this time, my husband was in the pawnbroking trade, you see. Well, it wasn't a very nice job, and it wasn't very well paid. When first I met my husband, he had 30 shillings a week, and it was managed. Afterwards, I worked at, I think, one of the first supermarkets in Bolton. It was called Bloor's, and it was the first sort of cut-price grocery, if you like. But it was nothing like the supermarkets of today. You served everybody. And you started at Monday morning. And you clean the shelves first of all. You clear all the shelves out and everything. And then you started weighing up the stuff, currant, sugar, you know, all dried fruit and sugar. I can't remember what else. There was loads of things. But that all had to be weighed up, you see, because there was nothing pre-packed. And you did that until about Wednesday. But all the time you were doing that, the manager was in the shop. But there never had to be two customers and only one serving. If the customer was being served and another customer came in the shop, the manager would say, right one, and you came and left what you were doing and did. And on Fridays and Saturdays, there were so many people came to the shop, and they used to spread sawdust around the back counter, so that you could slide round. You see, because you had to get all the goods off the shelves. And you know these tins of salmon, I don't know whether they sell them in Scotland, it's called cucumber salmon. And it's still available occasionally. It was good salmon. 8p a tin, that. Sugar was £4 for 9p. I can remember those two. I can't remember the price of butter or anything like that, you know. That was good. And then, of course, 1941, my son was born. So that's sort of 1930s, you know.
Yes.
And it's 1930s you want, is
that's
it?
Right, that's yes, right, right, yes. Yeah, so. I mean, I was interested when you were talking about, I mean, Bolton's obviously changed a lot since then.
Oh, unbelievably.
Because I find some photos of some of the cinemas that I thought you might recognise, even if they're not ones that you're so familiar with.
Imperial, no.
I've heard that under another name. I have a feeling it might have been called the Empire as well.
Empire?
I know it had a...
You don't know where this was?
Someone told me it was down where the Boots is now in the town centre, near where Boots the chemist is.
Ah, it was. This was Woolworths here.
Right.
This was Woolworths here. Yes, this was this was now, was it called the Empire at that time? I think it was. That's right, this was Woolworths. And behind there, higher up here, was the fish market. And they used to say at night, rats came down there. You see, and apparently, one woman was sat in there one time, during my time, and a rat jumped on her knee. And I think after that, it closed down. That's right. There was the... going, say, along Derby Street, this is St. Helens Road, beyond, perhaps about 10 minutes walk from here, down there, you get the main road, St. Helens Road. There was the Runworth, it was called. And then there was this Derby Pictures, which went to the Tivoli. And that was all along that road. But going over to Dean Road, there was the Fern Cinema. That's three, isn't it, up to now. And then there was the Regent, where we used to go. That's four. And then there was a big one. It turned into a skating rink after. And it began with R. It wasn't the Rialto, and it wasn't the Regent. But it began with an R.
Not the Rex.
The Ritz. No, it wasn't the Ritz.
The Rex.
Rex?
Yeah.
Don't remember that one. No, this was... It was a sort of ordinary name. Mm. And it was a big cinema, that. And they used to say a lot of courting couples used to go there and sit on the back seat. You know, and that was true. I don't know. I never went in, so I don't know. So that was like... what? One, two, three, four... Five. And then there was one on St. George's Road called the Rialto. This was called the Imperial. That's six, isn't it? There was the Queen's on Bradshagate, that's seven. And then there was one opened on Bradshagate called the Lido. Now that's still going. I don't know if it's still called the Lido, but it's still going. And I can remember when it was being built. Now, I was still at school when that was being built. They used to say, the workmen that working on it, said it would fall down within 5 years. Well, it was still up. That's only about seven. There's one called The Gem in Shefford Cross Street, because that is where Guide Headquarters is built now. You know, that's up going up, wait a minute, not Blackburn Road way, Charlie Hall Road. I believe there was in the teens of cinemas about. There was another one. Now, I don't know if this was The Gem or not. There was a man came to the Ladies' Fellowship, I remember, Robin. He was showing us films of slides of old Hallowell. Now, it could have been The Gem, because a friend of mine used to live there, round about there, when she was little, and she remembered going. And they said it had dirt floors and light forms that they sat on, you know. And he said one man had told him his mother used to say when he went, why is it you can go to any three cinemas at Saturday afternoon and you come home with a white face, but you go to The Gem and you come home with a black face? Because, well, of course, when it got exciting, because they were nearly all cowboys and pearl white hanging over a cliff, etc., and it would be continued next week, you know. And of course, they'd start stamping like this with their feet, and all the dust would fly up, you see. And so they always came home covered in dust. And there was another one, farther up Blackburn Road. I remember seeing that one. And there was one on St George's Road. Have I said that one? There's one on St George's Road. And then, of course, there was the Capitol. Now, that was built, the Capitol and the Lido. And the Odeon were built in the 30s. You've got the Odeon here, haven't you?
Odeon there, yes.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I also got one of the programmes from the Odeon.
Woman Chases Man, Victoria the Great. Action for Slander. Janet Gaynor, I don't remember. I remember Frederick Marsh and Jesse Matthews. Barbara Stanwyck, oh yes. My eldest daughter loved Barbara Stanwyck. Ronald Coleman, yeah. Leslie Howard, The Scarlet Pimpernel. It was good, that. Yes, I remember that. There's no Zenz. Edgar Wallace. Very good, very good. I think that man that came to the Ladies' Fellowship, he had a cinema programme. He had lots of things about old Hallowell. No, but that's quite a lot, isn't it? Like the Fern.
It is, yes.
The Fern, the Regent, that one at the bottom of that I can't just remember its name. Oh, and there was another one on the beginning of Blackburn Road. And then there was the Rialto, and there was these two up here, and then the Lido on Bradshaw Gate, the Odeon and the Capitol, and there was the Gem, and there was one going up Belmont Way. So that's about 11, isn't it? I think I have a feeling that I've been told once there were about 13 cinemas at one time in Bolton. Of course, it was the only thing, wasn't it, really, you know? That's about, I think, all I can tell you, really.
I mean, you mentioned earlier on some of the stars that you liked yourself, people like Jeanette MacDonald and Nelson.
Oh, yeah,
Jeanette
MacDonald and Nelson Eddy. I thought they were wonderful. And yet, today, if you saw Nelson Eddy now, he'd look plump, wouldn't he?
It's funny you should say that, because I was just watching Me Time. 2 days ago.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh,
it's
yes.
A wonderful film.
Oh, I'll tell you what we once watched. It was an old film when we watched it, because it was when my son was born in 41. Now, we went to my auntie's in Sheffield once, and we stayed with her for a few days, and she said, go on to the pictures, you know, have a night out yourselves. And it was Whiskey Galore. It was... we thought it was a really good film. It really was a marvellous film to us. It was black and white. And as the girls, there's a lot of difference between my sons and the girls. There's 11 years between David and Tricia is the eldest, and then there's 14 like between, and Christy's the youngest. Well, they were born, they were playing about at this particular time, and it was coming on the television in the afternoon, Sunday afternoon, and we kept saying to them, oh, you mustn't miss Whiskey Galore. It's a wonderful film. It's absolutely hilarious, you see. Well, they teased me about it many a time, that. Do you remember when my mum and dad said about this? I think they'd cut so much out of it to get it on television in the time. It was nothing like as good as... Now, there was a young boy in that. Ah, there was that Whiskey Galore. Now, there was a young boy in another film I remember seeing. It wasn't Whiskey Galore. It was a film where there was a shipwreck. There was a fire on board ship, and the crew got off, or some of them did. Anyway, some got in one boat, and they were still at sea when they got back to the ship, and the fire had gone out, and they reboarded it. Now, there was he played a boy, the sort of cabin boy in that, and he was the man. And I don't know his name. He played the butler in Upstairs, Downstairs.
Oh, yes.
The Scottish boy, yeah. He was.
Yeah, I know who you mean there, Gordon Jackson.
That's right, yeah. Gordon Jackson. And I can remember him. And they had this fire, and they finally got the ship. And they were going to send the tugboats out to bring it in, but they said no, because if the tugboats had come in, they wouldn't have got the bounty or something for bringing this ship in, you see. I can remember that. There was Gordon Jackson, and then there was another man. He was a Welshman. Can't remember his name. And I think those were the only two I can remember out of that pictures.
Did you enjoy comedies particularly? Or?
Those kind of... I wasn't very keen on Laurel and Hardy.
Right.
Now, I've seen Laurel and Hardy, and Charlie Chaplin, of course. Now, I thought he was funny.
What was it that put you off Laurel and Hardy, do you think?
I thought they were a bit silly. You know, I'm still not keen on that kind. I like a sort of hidden humour, if you like.
I mean, another thing I brought along that I thought you might be interested to see was some stills from films from the 30s. And the first one just happens to be Laurel and Hardy.
No, some people really enjoyed them, you know. And who's that?
I think that's one of Joan Crawford.
Oh, no, I used to like her. Yeah. Yes, I used to like her, Joan Crawford.
What was it about her that attracted you or appealed to you?
Well, I think Joan... Oh, I'll tell you somebody else. I'm like, sorry, I'm going off my tail. I think Joan Crawford was more... She was more sort of sophisticated, wasn't she? A bit of a lady. I think perhaps that's what appealed to me. Now, there was somebody else that played the highwayman. She was a woman. She was called Margaret. I can't for the life of me think. And into my mind keeps coming Margaret Rutherford, but I think Margaret Rutherford's later on, really. I've seen Margaret Rutherford quite often on telly now. I like films like that, you know, whodunits. I like whodunits in books and that. Margaret somebody she was called. And she played the part of a highwayman. She sort of dressed up as a man. And she was a highwayman. But I can't for the life of me think what the film was.
It sounds like an interesting film, actually, is it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's very unusual.
Uh-huh.
Story.
I wish I could think about that.
The only other Margaret I can think of is Margaret Lockwood when you're saying that, but...
Oh, no, I wonder if it was Margaret Lockwood. Well, would she be about the 30s?
She must
though?
Be about then.
That's right. Yes, well, I think it was her. I think it was her. And did she used to have a sort of, what did they used to call it? They used to put
beauty,
a spot on.
That's right,
beauty spot.
I think
she did.
Yes, she did.
Yes, she did. That was a good film. She finally got shot or something, didn't she, in that? Yeah, I think she did. I don't think she got shot in the arm and she died, or whether she got shot properly and died. Well, she gave it up then, but I know she played the hand. I liked that one. And I used to like Joan Crawford. Oh, and this is, what's his name, isn't it?
Edward G. Robinson.
Yeah, well, he more or less played gangsters, didn't he? And who was the other one that used to play gangsters too, but a little fella.
Not James Cagney.
That's right, James Cagney. Yes, I can remember him. And now, didn't he have a film once where he had a boys' school? That might have been Spencer Tracy.
Yeah, I think it is Spencer Tracy.
He was a priest or something, and he sort of started a boys' school. That's right. I used to like him, Spencer Tracy.
Did you like the gangster films?
Well, it depended. I don't like too much blood and thunder. But, yeah, some of them were quite good. And usually the best came on top, didn't they, in the end? Which...
Because I was wondering when you said that about the school, it might put me in mind of the one where Cagney's a gangster and he has to pretend to be yellow at the end. It was the Dead End Kids in it.
That's right, yes. I don't think I saw that, but I remember of it. Don't worry, she's all right.
Yeah, and Pat O'Brien.
Pat O'Brien, I liked him too, yes, I liked him. Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. Now, I'm not terribly keen on dancing films like that, but I'd watch them. I mean, if they came on, you know, sometimes they come on at Saturday afternoon, don't they, these old black and white films.
That's interesting. Yeah. It's just not really appealing.
No. It's funny that, really. They're all right. But I'd rather have a good whodunit. You know, even now I'd rather have a good whodunit. Like, I'm just thinking Margaret Rutherford was marvellous, you know. Now, who's the other one that's getting on now? There's another one that's about 90-odd. She must have been...
Did you like the Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce?
Oh, no, I liked... those were the cricket, the ones that were always playing cricket. Basil Rathbone and the other one, they were a bit pansified.
Right.
That's right. But yeah, they were in whodunits many times.
That's what I was thinking, yes, and Sherlock Holmes.
No, I'm not terribly keen on Sherlock Holmes. No, and yet I like those type of films.
That's interesting.
I like, now if they come on television, Sherlock Holmes, I might watch them if there's nothing else on. I wouldn't buy a book or get a book out of the library with them on. But if there's somebody else on, like Agatha Christie, I would watch that instead. Preferably, I would watch that, you know, or read that. But those two pansies tend to annoy me a little bit.
I'm interested when you say that because, I mean, obviously they were quite popular.
Oh, yes. Well, so were... I can remember I was talking at something that was going on at school there. And the vicar saying he liked Laurel and Hardy, you know. And I thought, remember what the monks trying to get a piano up and downstairs. And I thought, it's stupid things if you turned it the other way. I just thought they were a bit stupid.
Yeah.
of course, he comes from Wigan, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I like him. I like his songs.
Yeah. Was it as a singer that you liked him best?
Oh, yes, I liked his songs very much. Yeah, when I'm cleaning windows and that kind of thing, it was a bit cheeky, but I like those. And but my dad used to say his father was better than him.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Because his father used to go to... His father used to be in the Wigan Hippodrome. My father. I suppose with living at a place where there wasn't anything like that, when they went to live at Wigan... That was great, you see, to go to the Wigan Hippodrome. My dad used to like the brass bands too that played in Wigan Park. That was something else. I like a brass band. But he used to say when my sister and I were little, my mother would spend so much time getting us ready to go out on Sunday night. They always got to the park when the band was playing God Save the King. Shirley Temple. Yes, no, I like Shirley Temple. Now, some didn't like Shirley Temple. They thought she was a bit affected for a child kind of thing, you know. But I like Shirley Temple.
Mm-hmm. Very talented.
Oh, yes. Of course she was for a little while. I could see my little granddaughter being like that. She's like that. But, it's funny how these bring you to mind. I would never have thought about George Formby. And I remember seeing him once in the TT races. That's right. Ah, yeah, it comes back. You see, I'd see those films probably, well, you see, from... it would be about 34 when I started going out with my husband. You see, well, then, till 41, we'd go regularly to the pictures every Wednesday night. So I would see quite a lot of pictures in that time, wouldn't I, really? But before that, no, very, 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 very rare.
Did you used to meet him at the pictures, or...?
Oh, no, he used to come for me. Oh, he used to come... well, with working in shops, you see, shops at that time, Saturday, well, of course, we didn't go on Saturday, we went at Wednesday. So, of course, he was at half day Wednesday, you see, in Bolton then. But you see, Saturday night, Friday night and Saturday night, the shops were open till 9 o'clock. And I had to be in for 10. So there's no way you could get very far by that time. At that time, when I was courting, there used to be sometimes evening trips to Blackpool and Southport. I think it was 1 and 6 to Southport, 2 and 6 to Blackpool. And I can remember once going to Blackpool on one of those half-crown trips, we used to say, and it got stuck somewhere just outside a station. Oh, and it was about 1 o'clock in the morning when I got home. I was scared to death because my dad had gone mad. Anyway, just said the following morning, you know, this kind of carry-on can't go on. It mustn't happen again. I said, well, you know, it was just a case of the train being late. Well, I mean, I was 21 when I got married. So I'd be about 18 at that particular time, you know. But your time for getting in at 10 o'clock, that was quite good. And I can remember a lady, she was a girl then, like quite a bit younger than me, and we were all talking the other day. And she lived next door but one to us. We lived at the top of Icewell Lane, which is just down here. And she said her dad, she said he was a good dad, you know, but she said, oh, very strict. He wouldn't let her go to the pally dancing. That was a den of iniquity. The only thing they did was dance, you know. And they were very strict Roman Catholics, which really, usually, they were a bit more lenient. It was the Methodists that were more against, you know, against dancing and that kind of thing at that particular time, you know. But anyway, he wouldn't let Clara. And a little incident that showed you the difference in their approach to sons and daughters. She had 3 brothers, Clary. And I can remember my stepmother saying to me, years after, that it was after I was married, and she was saying that Clara's mother had been saying to her that the father had got very annoyed with Clary because she didn't help to put the boys' food up at night. They took sandwiches with them, you see. They were all working then. And so I said, oh, why does Clara not work? And she looked at me. Oh, yes, of course she does. I said, well, why should she put their food up any more than they should put her food up if they're all working? But that was the attitude, you see. Men didn't do things like that. It's a lot better these days, I think, as far as that goes. I think men take far more... You know, and I mean, of course, I think a lot of it with women going to work now, they can see. I mean, when men would come home, oh, I'm tired, they'd probably been looking after 2 or 3 children all day, you know, which is completely exhausting. But you know, that was nothing. And I can remember my sister once saying, it never happened to me. My mother, and this was before my mother would died, like, and she told my sister to clean my brother's shoes, and she didn't want to. And she said, you should be proud to clean your brother's shoes. Well, I think it should be the brother that should be cleaning everybody else's shoes. That would be one job for him, wouldn't it? But that was the way it went those days, you know. And I mean, girls were very poorly paid. You know, if you got £1 a week sometimes, it was quite, you know, reasonable. I can remember somebody that I worked with once went to work. Well, that was another cinema. On Crompton Way, I think it was called the Crompton Cinema. You see, that's near where Samuel Crompton was born and that. And she left where I was, because there was a lot of short time. The pay was better when you were working, but she got a job as an usherette, and that was £1 a week. And she was about 20-something, you know, and that was the wage. I know things were a lot cheaper, but £1 a week didn't go far. Because the average rent then would be about 12 and 6 if you were renting your house. So you couldn't, of course women couldn't. I mean, I can remember a friend of mine not all that long ago saying to me, I must have loved Bill an awful lot to marry him. I said, well, what would you have done if you hadn't have married him? I said there wasn't much for us, really, only because you could never have bought a house of your own. I can remember after I went back to work, after my husband died, that's 30 years since, we had a supervisor. I worked in an office then, and we had this supervisor, and she was the supervisor and earned a good pay. But if it hadn't have been for the owners standing for her, she couldn't have even bought a flat, because they wouldn't let a woman take a mortgage out. I mean, when I was married, I had a better pay than my husband. But they didn't take that into account at all, you see. I know, we bought a little semi when first we were married on Plodder Lane. I don't really know where Plodder Lane is. That's over there. That this is like Leveredge Lane. It runs parallel with Leveredge Lane, but over the fields that way.
Right. I know roughly where you are.
Uh-huh. And it was newly built. £325 they were. Well, you had to put £32.05 then down, you see, a temp. Mm-hmm. And this is what we did. But when the building society, when you give all your details in, and they realised, and I think Harry was then on about £2 something a week and some bonus. But we had to pay another £32 because he wasn't earning enough. Mm. And although I was working, and I was getting actually more than he was at that particular time, that was when I worked at the tannery, but they didn't take that into account, you see, then. It all had to be according to his pay. So that was how it went. So, is there anything you want to hear these tapes, or do you want to borrow them?
I wouldn't mind borrowing them, if that would be all right.
Well, you let me have them back, won't you?
Of course, yes.
Well,
that would be great.
That's right. Now, I think those are a bit heavy. I don't think you'll get much out of those books, but if you've seen them anyway.
Yes, I had a brief look at them in the library.
Yes, I don't think you get much more out of those than you get off the tapes, really. Yeah. And the tapes are quite light, aren't they, to send back if...
That would be great, yes, and I'd like to have a chance to hear them.
Well, I think you'd get it's there's four sides. I don't know where it mustn't have had this on. I've had it years actually, and I just looked for it after you'd rung me up, and I don't think that must have been in the case. But I can't see why I can't find the case to it anywhere, and it starts off at. This must be where it starts. Home and neighbourhood life, that one. And then that second one, leisure and school. And then the third one is working experience and social change on that one. So yes, you could borrow those.
Thanks
very
much. It's very kind.
This is the paper they've been wrapped up in all this time. I'll put them in the bag or something for you.
So it was interesting for me to look at that.
Oh, yes.
Get some sort of background.
A background, yes. Yeah. Oh, that's right, yes.
That's helped me a lot to get a general idea.
A general idea, yes. Yeah.
But then after the end of this month, I'm going to be down in North London.
Talking
to people there.
Gosh.
And then I go on to East Anglia.
Good gracious, so, well, you get about anyway,
yeah,
won't you?
The idea is to really build up a picture of things like the differences in what stars people liked and how many times people were going to the cinema in different places. And another thing we've been doing is I put some adverts in sort of special interest papers. So we've been sending out questionnaires throughout Britain.
Oh, I see.
So that should help fill in some of the background too.
Oh, yes, wonderful.
We've been getting people replying from, you know, Wales and all sorts of different places. Uh-huh. So,
yeah. I can remember going and seeing, of course that would be after because the girls were, it'd be 66 that, I think. When we stayed in Colwyn Bay.
Ah, right.
And I went to see one of, what's she called? She sings, with the sound.
Oh,
sound
yes,
of music.
Julie Andrews,
that's
yes.
That's right, yeah. I remember going and seeing that when you were on. And usually you'd go and see a film when you were on holiday.
Right.
That would be something you would do.
I don't expect you had many holidays when you were growing up, though, if you were...
Actually, we went to camp with the guys for a few years. In fact, I was telling these ladies that came yesterday, I was a guide for about 13 years, you know, I found it very, very good, I enjoyed it, and we used to go to camp. Well, these ladies have all been guides, and it's a trefoil, I don't know if you've heard of them or not, it's a trefoil guild, it's like the older people who are still interested in the movement.
Yes.
And you help with sort of... helping with the examining for badges and helping, like, we recently, our guides here celebrated their 70th birthday, and I made the cake for them, and we gave them £50 towards their expenses, and that's the kind of thing. And this is what these ladies that were here there, we just meet in one another's homes once a month, and we had the guide captain from here talking to us on guiding of today, which is far different for but. I can remember going to Wales one year, and we used to go, there used to be a station just down the road here, a Dorpill station, and then there used to be one in Great Moor Street, that's all closed down now, and we could go right to Wales on a train like that. It's far more difficult to get to Wales today, far more difficult. I went in, and not with my daughter, because she comes for me, she lives in Wales, but I went on holiday at Rough-on-Sea, and I went by the National. And I went from Bolton to Manchester, and I was over an hour in Charlton Street bus station to get there. I just about got to the hotel in time for the evening meal, and I started off in the morning. And yet, in those days, all that time ago in the 30s, you could go straight to Manchester from Dorpill Station just down here. Or you could go from Great Moor Street in town. Now, we went, and there must have lots of guide companies and scout companies in Bolton went to Wales for camping. And that particular year, we went to Martha Fecken, I think it was. And we got the train in Great Moor Street, and half of it was occupied by scouts and half of it was occupied by guides. And the guiders and the scouters were in the middle, stopping us from joining in, you know. And another time, I was telling them about this yesterday, because this guy captain was talking about camp. We went to Silverdale, and we had navy blue haversacks, just like bags like this, and the shoulder strap on, you know. And we decided to go for a picnic. You can walk from Silverdale to Arnside. And we were going on this walk, and the heavens opened. Absolutely threw it down. Well... all our sandwiches, of course, there was no tin foil or, cling film or anything like that in those days. You were wrapped in greaseproof paper or something similar, you see. And, of course, dyes, like I say, with the hat dye coming down here, well, dyes came out of these haversacks, you see. And by the time we came to eat them, they were all blue. These blue haversacks. And Captain said, I'm afraid you'll have to eat them, guys, because I budgeted so very carefully for this camp that I can't afford you to cut more sandwiches.
Oh, no.
It never did us any harm. And the farmer used to bring the water. He had a big tank in the field, and the farmer used to bring the water every morning. And one morning we got out, pepped our heads out of the tent, and the horses were drinking the water. We still had to drink it. There was no more. That was the water we had. But it was funny, really. But we yeah, we enjoyed it.
That sounds like great fun, actually.
But we had a lot of fun, you know, and I can remember we'd won, you used to have the, no, they don't do this sort of thing. Essentially, you went back to basics, and you cooked, you divided into patrols, you were a cooking patrol, you'd be messenger patrol, you'd be camp patrol. Well, camp patrol was to keep the campsite tidy. And we had this one, she was called Miss Demain, and she was very efficient. And she used to have you trailing after her, and she'd be walking, there's a piece of paper there, and there's a piece of paper there, you see. And she was like, and one of our, the comic out of our company, she was dancing behind it. There's a piece of paper there, and the piece of paper.
Oh, dear.
And I can remember it, guys, we used to go for these badges. Well, these that they do today are far more sophisticated than what ours was. You just said I'd like to go to this sort of badge and that sort of badge. Anyway, I decided I'd go for entertainer's badge. And I started off and I was going to sing a song that my dad used. My dad was always walking about the house singing. You know, he'd have loads of songs, loads of repertoire. And he said, he used to sing this one. I passed by your window when the morning was bright, you see. So I decided I'd sing this. Well, this person that examined us, oh, she was a concert pianist or something, I think, very, very efficient. And so I started off this, and I got a few bars, and she said, just a moment. So Mr. said, would you like an accompaniment, dear? So I said, yes, please, you know, kind of thing, very frightened to death on the light, really. So she started, she got to the piano, and I started again. I passed by your window and the morning was plunk. Are you not used to singing to an accompaniment? No, miss. So I sang it all through, but they didn't get me entertainers back. She wrote a letter to our captain. There was about three of us went from our company. She wrote a letter to our captain and said, you know, the standard was terrible. You see, it wasn't at all efficient. And there was one girl there. She did come from a very poor family. It was a shame, really. And she was terribly bow-legged. And her eyes, obviously, neglect, you know. It was a shame. And, of course, we used to wear these great big hats then, you know, that went dipping all the way around. And she had this second-hand uniform that was very... and it wasn't all that. I had been in that. But she stood up there like this. And I've never forgotten that. She looked so funny. And I know you'll come back for the little silver ring you gave me. Oh, I often wonder about that girl. And the another one played the piano, and she could play by ear. She never had a lesson. But you sing anything to her, she could play it. But that didn't do for this like it had to be. She said, that's a pity that girl hasn't learned the piano properly. She said she has a gift for it. But it's no use, you see, because, well, it's no use for people like her. But she was an entertainer. I mean, she could have gone on any musical and entertained anybody. But, you see, I think she wanted class, you see, and we weren't class. Anyway, I think we should have a cup of tea now.
That would be lovely, yes.
Do you want tea, or would you rather have coffee?
Tea would be great, thanks.
Can I have a look at this while you're here?
Oh. History of Morris Green by yourself.
Yes.
This is interesting. I didn't realise this is very interesting. I didn't realise the area was so well.
Well, actually, they started, Mr. Cooper was one of those that started this local history workshop. I've been going to local history for about 20 years yet. I don't go now, but I've been going for a long, long time. And then they said, we're starting a local history workshop, but if you come, you'll be expected to do a project. project. And I thought, well, Morris Green, it's comparatively new. I don't mean, I mean, these houses have been up and those and that back, but it is towards, say, Dean and Smithles and all those. It, there's no, like, long way back history. But I thought, well, I'll do that because there's not much to it. But it was surprising how much I found when I did. But unfortunately, all the books have gone. They've all been sold. I keep that one. And if anybody comes, you see, the printers only want to do about 200. Well, for the number of people, there's so many. There's about 700 altogether. Well, they're only asked for now and then. It's not worth having another 200 done. But I keep that, and then if anybody comes, and I know them, and I know I'll get it back, yeah, I'll lend it to them, you see, and they can read through it.
It's interesting to see these photos as well.
That's right, and that's where the school is now, yes, across the road, where this is. Yeah, and that's the farm that they pulled out.
That's a lovely one.
And that's their cottages, yeah, to the farm.
And that, I mean, I wonder if you're this man who's been...
Well, he was called a Mr. Platt.
Ah.
And his daughter was in the guides. Unfortunately, it's another thing with Penny now. She's got older breath smells. He was a warden at church, and they helped to build the church. And they kept a lectern in that cottage. And his daughter used to tell us, she used to play on it, you know, when she was a little girl.
Ah.
Yeah, yeah. And she had Platts, and she was called Dorothy Platt. And the guide company's motto was a long pull, a strong pull, and a pull all together. Of course, we used to pull our Platts, you see, in New Zealand.
Oh.
Do you like tea strong, or?
Just as it comes.
As it comes.
Yeah.
That's what I like to hear somebody say. That's one thing we do it. Well, we have to. We don't do it as much now at Trafford. Is if they have anything on, like, we'll serve the refreshments and, yeah, things like that. And when you get people, I want a wheat one. I don't want milk in it. Can you just as it comes?
There's some really are wonderful. Some of these photos, the one of the park as well.
Yes,
that's,
yes,
great.
Do you know that park's not as nice now as it was then?
Mm.
It's a shame, really, because people really agitated to get that park. And
yeah, it looks. You can see all the local worthies. It must have been quite a gathering.
Oh, it was.
Place.
Oh, it was. It's on the front of the book, of course. But my grandson did that. He sort of copied it off this. And then we went to this class that they could enlarge them, you know,
yes,
make them stretch out, and it makes you able to see it more. And that stood in, what's the little park now? That was the village green and the little school. And they rented the school off the Bishop of Bridgewater for a shilling per annum. Providing they whitewashed it inside and out.
This is very interesting to find out about the area, but... the Salvation Army Band on Sunday night. It's interesting what this Mrs. Beckwith was saying about the Salvation Army band.
Yeah, yeah. And it tells you that about them going to the Salvation Army and the mission.
Ah.
And they would show them these slides of, you know, the Band of Hope, they stop people from drinking, and
yes,
they'd show them the fellas beating their wives up and that kind of thing. Do you have milk and sugar?
Just milk, no
just
sugar.
Milk.
Thanks.
That's
interested by this, what you're saying about the fundraising in 1931 for the Church of England,
mm-hmm.
and the vicar, Reverend A. Beswick, with his mile of pennies from Morris Green Lane to High Street, and then collecting in the Majestic Cinema.
That's right, yes. Yes, they allowed him to go into the foyer of the cinema and collect for...
That's interesting. Because that must have been quite controversial, because was there not... The church didn't like things like Sunday openings at that time. I mean, there was a bit of...
Oh, it wouldn't be Sunday. It wouldn't be Sunday he would collect, no. No, they weren't open on a Sunday, the cinemas then, no. No.
That's really interesting, this.
It would be probably be Saturday.
Yeah.
He once did a mile of pennies too far. That goes from Darkhill Station to High Street down here.
Yes.
And they do a mile of pennies on each side of the road. For a man, there used to be a quarry near Darkhill Station, and there was a boy fell in, and a man tried to get him out, but they both died. And they did a mile of pennies for the man's wife, I think, and children, you know.
And I notice one of your acknowledgements is to Lois Bassnett.
That's right.
I met her.
Did you? For the railways?
Yes.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Well, there's my youngest son-in-law's uncle has done something on the railways, but it's very technical.
Right.
It's a very biggish book. I think there's three men done it. But Lois has... She hasn't actually published anything, has she? It's just something that's in the library.
I was talking to her about cinemas.
Oh, were you? And she...
Last week, I think it was.
Was it?
Before, yes.
Yeah. Well, she was a friend of a friend of mine. That's how I got to know Lois Bassnett.
Because I met her through the West Houghton History
Group. Ah, she's in the West Houghton History Group. It seems to be very... Well, I think it was the West Houghton History Group that Andrew's uncle was in. And they've done this thick book. I haven't got it. I think it's about £15 or something like that. But I haven't got it. But it's very technical, very detailed, you know, about the railways.
Yeah.
I've mentioned it in there that just where the original station used to be, even I can remember when the train used to cross the main road, and there was a man with a little red flag who used to stop the traffic. At that particular time, it was only bringing coal. It picked the coal up at Darkhill Station and brought it across the road to the sidings at this side across the road.
Was that quite a slow train then, if it was...
It just crossed the road, I think it was once or twice a day at that particular time. But years ago, my mother-in-law's mother used to catch the train there. She taught at St Mark's School, right down over Great Lever Way, you see, and she used to catch the train, because it used to go right to to what they call Letcher's Close, in the town near Trinity Church. I don't know, you see, you don't know Bolton, you don't know these places, do you?
Because it's interesting, the mining connection as well. I noticed you mention the Pretoria Pit
disaster, 344. And funnily enough, I'm just into reading one of Ruth Hamilton's books. I don't know whether you know her books.
No, I'm not familiar.
Well, funnily enough, it was my sister in Scotland that told me about them. She writes on Bolton, but it's fiction, of course. It does give you an idea. But she, just last night I came, the Pretoria Pit disaster, you see. But she says 300 and odd, but there's 344 men and boys.
Atherton.
The actual pit was in Atherton. Everybody says West Houghton.
Yeah.
And there's a big memorial in West Houghton town centre.
Yeah.
And most of them were buried in West Houghton. The biggest part would come from West Houghton. But quite a lot did come from this part of the world, really. And there was one lady that I was talking to that lived just down here. She's only been dead about 12 months. She was 91 when she died. And she remembers this little girl. And she was in the front garden on St Helens Road. And she said, I heard this terrific bang.
And then she says droves and droves of people started coming up to St. Helens Road. And one of the ladies that was here yesterday, her father was working there. And her mother went as soon as she heard, you see. But he had gone on the morning shift and he hadn't gone down the pit when the explosion occurred. But he'd stayed on to help to bring the others out, you see.
Yes.
But there was one lady in Morris Green Lane and she lost her husband and two sons. And they didn't get them all out at once, of course. So she had 3 3-year-olds. And her sons were only in the early teens, like 14, 13 and 14. It was dreadful. Mm. Mm.
Someone was telling me about that in West Horton as well, and seeing that they'd had a lodger who actually survived the disaster.
Uh-huh.
He was in the last, I don't know what the technical term is, but you know
the cage.
The cage. He was in the one that was going down just after it happened.
Uh-huh.
And the poor chap, he ended up actually killing himself shortly after because it was so, you know, most of
so traumatic. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
I just sort of couldn't.
Well, I studied it when I wrote that book.
Terrible thing.
And now, there used to be the headmistress, and she died about 12 months ago. But her sister I'm still friendly with, and their father got killed in a Pretoria pit disaster. And the one that's still living was only 3 months old. And Nelly, the elder one, was about 2.5, something like that. And they got no money, no compensation, you know, unless they were in dire straits.
Yeah.
If they were, they went to their homes and had a look what the conditions were like.
And anyone would be well off if you just lost your
that's
family.
That's right. And if they were really, really terribly hard up, they got 7 and 6 and that kind of thing. They just got help if they desperately needed it.
Yes.
I know I got rather angry one day. That Mrs. Beckwith said to me, "Oh yes," she said, "that's how those girls were educated." I said, "Well, I can remember Mrs. Hume going nursing so many hours a day, like nursing people in their homes and that kind of thing. And one time she took a housekeeping job where she could have the girls with her, you know, and that kind of thing." So she didn't get that much compensation. Afterwards, they had a public fund, and that's how they got. And this Mrs. Hume, this friend of mine that's still living, her mother was one of the two that were left drawing off this fund. She was about 93 when she died, Mrs. Hume. Yeah, and there was just two of them left eventually. So what's happened to that fund now? I don't know. Perhaps. Would you like a biscuit?
Yes.
That Scottish shortbread, but I've not made it. Supposed to be Scottish shortbread, but when I was doing it, I thought, I don't think I've put enough flour in it. And I was getting a bit bothered because actually I made it. See, I've had quite a busy few days really, and they were all coming, and they usually do a few biscuits and things. And I thought, I don't think I've put quite enough flour in this, and I put some more in, and I think there's a bit too much.
Well,
anyway,
that's great.
But it is supposed to be Scottish shortbread. Mm. It says
I think that's just right. It's delicious.
Do you? Mm. Very good. Very good.
Because you were saying your sister lives. Is it in England?
Denny. Do you know Denny at all?
I know where it is. I don't know it.
Well, it's sort of. What's that other that new town that's been built?
Cumbernauld.
Yeah. Well, you go through Cumbernauld.
Yeah.
It takes you about an hour, depending what bus you get. Mm. There's like one or two buses go to Denny, but some go a long way round and will take you longer, you see. And of course, I don't know which they are. But, she's been there about 53 years. She had her golden wedding, but her husband died at Christmas time. And so she's more Scottish than you, I think, now. She's
probably been there longer than
I have. That's right.
And does she like living in Denny, is it?
Oh, yes. I think they've built it up quite a bit. They did build one or two high-rise flats. It was like we'd call it a village, but they call it the toon, you know. And then they brought some overspill from Glasgow. Mm. But as my brother-in-law pointed out at the time they had a big meeting when they were doing this, if you're going to bring people from a place like Glasgow, you must have some facilities for them. Because they've been used to these facilities. Yes. But of course, nobody took any notice of such as them, you see. And it has caused quite a bit of trouble because there's too many young people there and not enough for them to do, you see.
Yeah.
So it's not quite as nice a place as it was at one time, you know.
It's like that where, I mean, I was brought up in the country in Fife, and we're just next to one of the new towns, Glenrothes, and it was very much like that. A lot of people actually ended up there from Glasgow, and they didn't even have a cinema until about 5 years ago.
That's right.
And of course, as you say, then people get into trouble, there's nothing for them to do.
Of course they do, of course they do. But you see, they don't take notice of people like us, do they?
No.
And
so it's your
release. Yes, well, no, I was just going to go. Thanks, I'll have one of these. And come on, help yourself.
No, I might have another bit, actually.
Are you sure?
Yes, that's great.
Well, you can have a Kit Kat or anything you like, you know, just to help yourself. My little granddaughter likes the Kit Kat. She's down there. I keep them in that cupboard there.
Oh, I just noticed the cards. Is it your birthday card?
It was my birthday on Monday. That's but lovely. My youngest daughter made a family tea on Sunday. And so I had all the family, which I've like three grandchildren. And the two boys are older and they have girlfriends. Mm. So there was like 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. It was about 14 of us, I think. Oh, she made me a cake. I've forgotten about the cake. I'll cut some of this.
Your cards are lovely, though.
I've got some more in the front. And then you need to get up more when you get older. Mm. My sister was a confectioner. My dad's